This is Akashwani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on strengthening urban transport and enhancing ease of living in India. The participants are K.V. Prasad, senior journalist, and Lalima Aneja Dang, anchor.
Our Honorable Prime Minister Shri Narendra Modi today inaugurated and laid foundation stone of multiple development projects in Delhi worth over 12,200 crore rupees. Indeed, it was a proud moment for the country, particularly for the capital, because Delhi got its first Namo Bharat connectivity as Prime Minister inaugurated the Namo Bharat corridor between Sahibabad and New Ashoknagar. Mr. Prasad, now we have a Namo Bharat train which has a speed range of 160 to 180 kilometers per hour. It is indeed a historic moment for our country. Of course, it was designed by a French company but manufactured almost entirely in Gujarat, in our country, of course, and as part of the Make in India initiative. It is made of stainless steel, which makes it lightweight. The aerodynamics is such that it reduces air drag resistance and has a business class coach. Fantastic world-class feel around it. 2x2 seating, Wi-Fi connectivity. What do you make of this Namo Bharat extension today?
Well, Lalima ji, I think the fact that the country is looking forward to 2047 to emerge as a developed country, the Namo Bharat train is indicative of the push the new India is making towards adapting modern technology, the best of the world available technology, but at the same time, push it in the manufacturing by the Make in India concept and make it, you know, Atmanirbhar Bharat. So all these elements come into play when you're saying at the same time, offer the best of amenities to passengers at an affordable cost, because today is not just ease of travel, it's also the comfort in which you are able to travel. Gone are the days when we were focused on doing only one thing. As a community, as a country, we have a whole generation which is multitasking. So this kind of a travel facility, which gives you the comfort and almost the luxury at the cost of comfort, I would say, to use this word, and allow people to focus and do what they want to do in the comforts of the passenger train, which carries them to the destination at the shortest possible time, Lalimani.
Yes, indeed. We are now an aspirational country, and this is the age where aspiration doesn't have a negative connotation. The Prime Minister often says that it's good to have aspiration, and we are trying to meet those standards, because now the Indians are also being exposed to the developed world, and they have aspirations to have modern amenities as it happens in the developed world. And we are now quite getting close there, although the 2047 is the time that we have settled for. Mr. Prasad, how do you think this can change the profile of the country? Because when you have a new technology, we also know that India is now mobile, India is now forward-looking, and anything new that comes in, are we geared for it in every which way? Because after all, this will be on electricity, there is a new signalling technology involved, safety measures are there, Honourable Prime Minister has laid the foundation stone for the expansion of this. Each time a new technology comes, Indians feel very proud. Do you think, are we poised for greater heights now?
Lalimaji, technology is a constantly evolving system, and one has to keep pace with it, because otherwise you lose out in the race. Take it simply, the mobile phone that you and I were introduced to in 22 decades ago don't exist anymore. They're probably not even museum pieces anymore, right?
Right.
So you need to move with technology. Today's children are far more savvy to use. And when I say children, I'm saying children even below, before they even go to a play school, they know how to operate a smartphone. So that generation, it's but natural they expect something that matches to their ability to use those systems. Initially, when we had to do business with machines in this country, we found it very difficult. But then over a period of time, people have learned to do business with machines. When I say that, you go to a metro station, really find a person, you have to punch your card and pull out your ticket. So all those automations have come into life because they're available. How much of you automate, to what extent you need to automate, is something that every country will have to balance it out. One, because of in a country like ours, while we also talk of the demographic difference, we also know we are huge numbers in people. So we also need enough hands. We have enough hands. This is the planners always balance it out, but at the same time, the society's needs, and also to move forward with the, as you jump forward and leap into the next generation. Today, we are talking of AI, AI taking over many aspects. The whole world is looking at what's going to happen to us. So I think we need to move with technology. And I think all this is reflected in what you just mentioned in the form of the Namo Bharat train.
Right. And friends, the Prime Minister also undertook a ride in Namo Bharat train from Sahibabad RRTS station to New Ashoknagar RRTS station. Well, for more on this, we are now joined by our correspondent Aman. Yes, Aman, what is the update? What was the scene like? And what would you say on this huge milestone that we have achieved today?
Yes, Lalima. Today, Delhi National Capital Region has received a significant gift from Government of India. The multiple developments projects worth over 12,200 crore rupees in Delhi will enhance regional connectivity and ensure ease of travel. Regional rapid transport system showcases the future of public transport in development in new Indian cities. Mr. Modi also emphasized that once the Namo Bharat project is completed, there will be a significant change in traffic on the Delhi-Meerut route. He highlighted that India's metro network has now reached 1,000 kilometers and lauded it as a remarkable achievement. Mr. Modi noted that in 2014, when the country gave his government the opportunity, India was not even in the top 10 globally in terms of metro connectivity. And however, over the past 10 years, India has become the third largest country in the world in terms of metro network. He emphasized that during the current tenure of their government, India will have the second largest metro network in the world.
Thank you very much, Aman. Today, the Prime Minister also inaugurated the 2.8 kilometer stretch between Janakpuri and Krishna Park of Delhi Metro Phase 4, worth around 1,200 crore rupees. And this will be the first stretch of Delhi Metro Phase 4 to be inaugurated. And the areas of West Delhi to be connected would be Krishna Park, parts of Vikaspuri, Janakpuri and others. What is your take on this?
If you remember about 20 years ago, 25 years ago, this whole talk of NCR was being talked about, the National Capital Region. Why? Because they wanted to decongest Delhi and also make ease of travel to satellite towns, which are already thriving in their own spheres of life. Be it Ghaziabad in western parts of Delhi, towards the eastern parts of Delhi or to the western parts, Faridabad, Gurgaon. We are familiar with all these names. The whole idea was to develop the satellite towns and connectivity between the satellite towns so that people who come here on a regular basis for Delhi, for their service, for their work, business, have that. I mean, there was time, if you remember, it used to take almost 4 hours. People used to leave early morning in the trains, yes. Local trains leaving Meerut and Ghaziabad and other places, come to yes. Delhi, work the whole day, then hop on the train and go back close to midnight. So, you know, half the time was lost only in travel and work. Now, all this connectivity, decongesting the city, allowing people to migrate and re-migrate to their places of stay and work in a much more seamless fashion. And that's what Metro has done to this country, especially in we all are experiencing in the NCR region. And when the Prime Minister talked about 1,000 kilometers of stretch of Metro in the last decade or so, that the figures that tell us. Now, remember, almost 400 kilometers of that Metro network is in the capital city of Delhi, almost with the start of this stretch, fourth phase of Metro in Delhi. And there was a study which almost 15 years ago, we were told that for a country, for a city to decongest itself on the roads, it needs to have at least 400 kilometers of metro network so that people can be moved out. And if you remember in the 18th, umpteen report of the mass rapid transport system, which eventually became metro, came out in the year 2000, it became a reality. So from 20 to 20, 25 years down the line, it has grown beyond one's expectation, I would say. But other cities are also emulating and sure. And there is a other side to it, which we don't get to discuss so often, the kind of conservation of and preservation for environmental concerns. When in Delhi, we all talk of AQI. Remember, so many vehicles will be off the road when people start using this mass transport system. So many vehicles will go less. So it's, you're also contributing to the environmental issues that we are talking and the larger goal of India to reduce its dependence on carbon. So I think there are multiple things which we don't sometimes get to see, but they're all layers that exist for all of us.
Yes, of course, it adds to ease of living. And these are the positive side effects that we reduce our pollution and take load off the roads. When we talk about budget for infrastructure, Mr. Prasad, we noted that about 10 years ago, the budget used to be somewhere around 2 lakh crore rupees. But now we find that it's increased to over 11 lakh crore rupees. Clearly, we see the roads being built, the ports being built. There are expressways. Of course, it leads to the country's economic growth. It also provides employment opportunities. This will also add to the Gati Shakti mission of the government.
The first thing is, as I said in the previous segment, there are multiple layers when you see of infrastructure development adds to things. One, at the time when we are talking of aspects of attracting investments, when we attract investments, manufacturing in India, also because we also have the Atmanirbhar program coming together. Now, if you want the foreign investors and investors to come to India and make stuff, they obviously want connectivity so that they can move their products from one point A to point B within the country or outside the country. Now, if your ports are taking longer time to turn around time, when I say turn around time available for the ship to berth, unload the cargo ship to come in, unload and reload and leave. So, I mean, there were times it used to take weeks together for such a berth. So all that is being addressed. And unless you get that, international manufacturers would not like to come to India because they need connectivity from their factories to the ports to so on and so forth. That infrastructure becomes important. And why is it important? As you pointed out, it generates employment. And what does it do? Once you have more employment, you have more money to spend for other things. So the wheels of economy start stirring. And when the wheels of economy move, you move towards what we're looking at, the Viksit Bharat.
Yes, indeed. And this reduces logistic cost as well. It is being said that the trucks, which would take 4 days, now take 24 hours to reach. So obviously it cuts down the fuel cost. It cuts down many other additional expenses. And Mr. Prasad, when we talk about wellness, Ayurveda, which has been a traditional system of healing from our country, 5,000 years old, the Prime Minister said that we have reached almost 100 nations of the world. I'm talking about Ayurveda. And Ayush, there's a separate ministry now dealing with it. When we talk about our country being the pharma capital of the world, we are supplying medicines, we are supplying vaccines to the whole world. We also began to export PPE kits during the pandemic. Now, coming to Ayush and Ayurveda in particular, the Honorable Prime Minister today inaugurated the second phase of the All India Institute of Ayurveda, and he said that the foundation stone for the Central Ayurveda Research Institute has been laid. This is yet another feather in the cap of Delhi. What would you say to that? Because a lot of foreigners are now absolutely besotted by the Ayurveda system or the Ayush, and many of them are wanting to come to India, as we are calling it medical tourism, not just in the allopathic sector, but in the Ayurveda sector as well.
Yeah, I think the alternate system medicine is something that everybody is looking at because there are people who, of course, go for allopathic treatment, but there are people who want to experiment and experience the alternate systems. And as you pointed out, during COVID, India did come up with certain ideas and some of it got adopted both within the country and outside. But at the same time, you need to do some scientific research in the field. And I think that is where the kind of accent on making it more scientific, because allopathy was talked about as a medicine which is very scientific. Everything is recorded for people to study and research. Ayurveda, we have traditional knowledge banks in this country, but you need to develop it so that modern science gets molded and you get a product which is accepted for its scientific. I mean, there are studies which prove you, but there are always this issue at how scientific is it. I think so this movement, this whole stress alternate medicine is there, but if you give it to more of a measured scientific approach, it brings tremendous value is the way it looks like.
Yes, and interestingly, we now have a special Ayush visa facility which has been introduced, and so that in a short span, hundreds of foreigners can come to the Indian soil and get treated with the Ayurveda therapies.
I said, remember in 2023, the WHO had signed up an agreement to advance traditional complementary integrative medicine with the Government of India and Ministry of Ayush, because this is the whole idea was traditional complementary integrative medicine center and health for millions of people. So this is what happened in 23. And at that point of time, it was said this collaboration will play an important role, not only in globalization of evidence-informed traditional complementary integrative medicine, but also mainstreaming proven these practices in national health systems, because they want to achieve the universal health coverage and well-being. There you are, you know. Every step moves in that direction is the way I look at it.
Absolutely. So that we become the wellness capital. From pharma capital, we also want to become the wellness capital of the world. And this is an integrated approach to wellness where allopathy or alternative systems are not compartmentalized like Ayurveda. They are complementing each other and have an integrated approach to wellness, right?
Yes, absolutely. As I said, there is alternate medicine, but the question was, as it was said, how is it? Is it measured? Like, you know, you kind of evidence-informed.
Documentation.
As WHO called, so important in allopathy. So that the doubting thumbsets are addressed.
Right.
That's the way it looks like.
Absolutely. Okay. So on the whole, briefly, how would you like to sum up today's developments where India is now looking forward, poised to be developed by 2047? We are gearing slowly and steadily towards it. You think so?
Well, you have to see every measure that you take, every step you take has to be goal-oriented. The goal has already been set by Prime Minister. And then, so it's a multiple effort. It's not one direction, unidirectional. You have to do multiple steps, but each step is coordinated because you have a big picture in mind, but you have to move the small pieces on the board. Each piece is moving towards the Viksit Bharat. So this is one of the pieces that is required that was pushed forward is the way is it looks like, Lalimaji.
Thank you, Mr. Prasad, for talking to us and sharing your precious views and reviews on this topic today.
Thank you very much.
You were listening to a discussion on strengthening urban transport and enhancing ease of living in India. The participants were K.V. Prasad, senior journalist, and Lalima Anija Dang, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashwani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.